Lydia Rebine is in the studio for our Madison Dawson Canby Library Show. And good afternoon, Lydia.
Good afternoon, Paul. And what a nice day it's been. Pretty perfect out there.
It is. This is my kind of temperature, really.
Mm-hmm. Not too hot.
Not too cold.
Not too cold, exactly.
But my wife and I go for a walk early in the morning, and it was kind of chilly out this morning early. But
that can be nice for exercise, though, because you're going to get warm while you're walking.
That's right.
Have it be cool outside, also kind of perfect.
That's right. Well, you walked over from the library, from Madison Library today. You got one block to go. How'd that go?
It went just fine. I had kind of an interesting view. You know, we've got the streets being torn up, or I should say the highways right now in Madison. They're working on Highway 40. And I couldn't tell what it was at first. It was just this huge cloud sort of drifting over the elevators, you know. And I'm like, what is that? And then I realized it's all the dust from them tearing up roadways.
And
it was just this huge plume.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay. No, I didn't see that. So
don't want to be downwind of that right now.
Nope, for sure. All right. Well, tell us what's happening in the library system here.
Lots of summer reading stuff going on, of course. Summer reading is still going strong at Madison, Dawson, and Canby. Madison, we're doing sort of passive activities is what we call them, rather than making the kids come in at a certain time to do an activity. They have the opportunity to come in and do it throughout the week as their schedule allows. So anytime during our regular hours, they can stop in and do the weekly craft or activity. This week, we're doing one that I think is really cool. It's a Get Well card project. So we have supplies that they can use to put together these cards that are then going to be sent to a sick child at the Minnesota Children's Hospital in Minneapolis. So at the end of the week, we're going to collect them all, put them together, and mail them off. A really cool project. And then next week, starting on Monday, July 3rd, we'll have supplies to create an original art piece that will be displayed in the library for a month. Story times, of course, in Madison. We have those story times every Tuesday morning at 10:30. We had one this morning. And then one last thing going on for kids in Madison this week. We've had a paper airplane building craft that's been going on. And this week on Thursday, the 29th at 3 p.m., we'll be hosting a paper airplane flying competition.
Wow.
So that will be fun. And kids can either bring in one of the airplanes that they've made throughout the past weeks, or they can stop in prior to 3 and prepare one. We still have supplies for that. So again, that's this Thursday, the 29th at 3 p.m. Over in Dawson for summer reading, they have stories and crafts every Tuesday from 11 to noon. And in Canby, they host movies on Wednesdays at 2 p.m. On Thursdays, there are preschool through second grade story times at 10 a.m. and tween programs at 3 p.m. And then 4-H programs are held on Fridays from 10:45 to 11:45. And again, that's in Canby. One thing I forgot to mention at the top, and I should mention before we go any further, is that we've got a holiday coming up. So all of the libraries naturally will be closed for the 4th of July, Tuesday, and then back on Wednesday for our regular hours. But keep that in mind when you're planning out your week.
Okay.
Book clubs are, of course, busy. Dawson and Canby's meet on the first Tuesday of the month. Canby's meets at 10:30 in the morning and Dawson's at 6:30 in the evening. Madison, we meet the second Tuesday at 7:15 p.m. Currently, Dawson's book club is reading Northern Spy by Flynn Berry. Canby's is reading Nothing More Dangerous by Alan Eskins. And Madison's club are being kind of rebels. They're this month each reading a different book and then comparing their reading experiences. So that should be interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then one last thing I want to mention before we start talking about what we've been reading is to remind everybody again of telescopes, because it's such a perfect time for it right now. So you can check out and use a telescope kit from the Madison Dawson or Canby libraries. The kit comes with a very nice telescope and all of the instructions and other miscellaneous accessories you need to view the night sky. Anyone with a Pioneerland Library card who is age 18 or older can check out the telescopes, and they are for 1 week. Very cool. And we have many supplementary books you can check out to go with them. And just a fun thing that people should take advantage of.
Okay. You mentioned paper airplanes. You know, when I was in school, I was the king of making paper airplanes. I was very good at it.
Well, you might have to come over and mentor some children on Thursday.
Oh, okay, so you make the paper airplanes and then you test fly them?
Exactly.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Yes.
When is that again?
Thursday at 3 p.m. So
Madison Library?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Stop by and spectate, if nothing else. I think it'll be quite entertaining.
Yeah. I was kind of obsessed with paper airplanes when I was a kid.
Were you?
Yes.
Okay.
I made a lot of them. So, all right. All right, let's learn what's the staff reading, Lydia?
Absolutely. So I am reading a book called Tracers in the Dark by Andy Greenberg. Over the last decade, a single innovation has massively fueled digital black markets: cryptocurrency. Crime lords inhabiting lawless corners of the internet have operated more freely, whether in drug dealing, money laundering, or human trafficking, than their analog counterparts could have ever dreamed. By transacting not in dollars or pounds, but in currencies with anonymous ledgers, overseen by no government and beholden to no bankers, these black marketeers have sought to rob law enforcement of their chief method of cracking down on illicit finance: following the money. But what if the centerpiece of this dark economy held a secret, a fatal flaw? What if their currency wasn't so cryptic after all? An investigator using the right mixture of technical wizardry, financial forensics, and old-fashioned persistence could uncover an entire world of wrongdoing. Tracers in the Dark is a story of crime and pursuit unlike any other. With the unprecedented access to major players in federal law enforcement and private industry, veteran cybersecurity reporter Andy Greenberg tells an astonishing saga of criminal empires built and destroyed. Karen is reading The Cliff's Edge, Bess Crawford, Book 13, by Charles Todd. Nice long-running series. In the aftermath of World War I, Nurse Bess Crawford is caught in a deadly feud between two families in this 13th book in the beloved mystery series. Restless and uncertain of her future in the wake of World War I, former battlefield nurse Bess Crawford agrees to travel to Yorkshire to help a friend of her cousin, Melinda, through surgery. But circumstances change suddenly when news of a terrible accident reaches them. Bess agrees to go to isolated Scarfdale and the Neville family, where one man has been killed and another gravely injured. The police are asking questions, and Bess is quickly drawn into the inquest. When another tragedy strikes, the police are ready to make an arrest. Bess struggles to keep order as tensions rise and shots are fired. What dark truth is behind these deaths? And what about the tale of an older murder, one that doesn't seem to have anything to do with the Nevilles? Bess is unaware that when she passes the story on to cousin Melinda, she will set in motion a revelation with the potential to change the lives of those she loves most, her parents and her dearest friend, Simon Brandon. Alice is reading Blowback by James Patterson and Brenda Dubois. U.S. President Keegan Barrett has swept into office on his success as director of the CIA. 6 months into his term, he devises a clandestine power grab with deadly consequences. Barrett personally orders CIA agents Liam Gray and Noah Heimel to execute his plan, but their loyalties are divided. The CIA serves at the pleasure of the president, yet they've sworn to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. When the threat comes from the Oval Office, that's where the blowback begins. And Naomi is reading The London House by Catherine Rhea. Caroline Payne thinks it's just another day of work until she receives a call from Matt Hammond, an old college friend and historian. But pleasantries are cut short. Matt has uncovered a scandalous secret kept buried for decades. In World War II, Caroline's British great-aunt betrayed family and country to marry her German lover. Determined to find answers and save her family's reputation, Caroline flies to her family's ancestral home in London. She and Matt discover diaries and letters that reveal her grandmother and great-aunt were known as the Waite sisters. Popular and witty, they came of age during the interwar years, a time of peace and luxury filled with dances, jazz clubs, and romance. The buoyant tone of the correspondences soon yields to sadder revelations as the sisters grow apart and one leaves home for the glittering fashion scenes of Paris, despite rumblings of a coming world war. Each letter brings more questions. Was Caroline's great aunt actually a traitor and Nazi collaborator? Or is there a more complex truth buried in the past? Together, Caroline and Matt uncover stories of spies and secrets, love and heartbreak, and the events of one fateful evening in 1941 that changed everything.
All right. Real good. Well, a lot of book reading there by the staff at the libraries.
Yes, and as always, big variety.
Big variety, always. Real good, Lydia. Well, thank you for coming into the studio and telling us what's happening.
Always great to visit, Paul.
Lydia Rebine with the Madison, Dawson, and Canby Libraries.